This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think we've done okay. No more than okay. No worse than okay. As I said, the start of the season was a strange one with the injuries we had at that time and the players that we'd brought in. I'm sat here having lost 4 of the 8, and I don't think we've deserved to lose 4 out of the 8. So again, that will even itself out. You know, we've had some really good performances. Possibly the best performance has been a 3-0 defeat to Chelsea. So we'll keep working on becoming a consistent team, and when we do that, we'll be consistent throughout this league.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time as we approach Friday night festivities against Arsenal. Joining me to discuss that and catch up on what's been happening since the main show, Mr. Chris Bird, welcome back.
Hello, how are you?
All right, I've almost got over the that last 10 minutes Villa Park Twilight Zone
implosion.
Have you processed that now?
Just about. It'll sit better if we get the win at Arsenal.
It's just one of those results that you know the top teams don't give away.
Not in that manner to that sort of team.
It's kind of smelling mid-table-ish type shenanigans. But anyway, let's move on from that. If you are new to the podcast, this is just our quick catch-up, something for the weekend. If you want to get a taster of the main show, then check out 167 for starters and work backwards. All right, the tradition to catch up, to bring us up to speed, is to do a Villa Minute. And through the post, I got sent a couple of Hublot watches. Yours is in the post.
Oh, thanks for that. It's been in the post a while, this one, hasn't it?
Don't mention it to Phil Shaw. They're kindly sponsoring the Villa Minute this week. So we'll use this to record the minute. They're not really.
Not yet, anyway.
Right, go.
Villa return after the international break with a visit of the Dogheads and a return to Villa Park for the first time in 28 days. Luiz and Martinez pop out of their quarantine bubbles to start, regardless of a quick turnaround from international duty. Despite big chances for Ings and Adama Traore, the first half is largely forgettable as a tactical stalemate ploughs out, with neither side sharp enough in possession to break through. Villa fly out of the traps in the second half, with McGinn picking out Ings for a picture book header, then follows it up with a deflected thunderbolt from the edge of the box as Villa take control and are cruising at 2-0 going into the last 10 minutes. More goals look likely, for Villa that is.
What could go wrong?
Surely the old cliche of 2-0 being the worst lead to defend isn't true. Cue Villa hitting the self-destruct button as Villa's game management is laughable.
5 minutes later.
2-2. Cue mass exodus as Villa throw away 2 points.
Hang on a minute.
The Dogheads get an injury time free kick, Ruben Neves scuffs his free kick, but Matt Target is on hand for the second game in succession to wrongfoot Martinez, this time with a deflection and the ball trickles into the empty net. Somehow Villa snatched defeat from the jaws of victory in mind-blowing fashion.
Oh, that Villa minute almost makes that last 10 minutes sound fun.
It's like a soap opera.
It was far from fun. It was like just suddenly you'd been feasting on a nice meal after being famished.
And which then we were.
Within 10 minutes, you suddenly felt emptied out. It's like you're too perplexed to actually be angry. It was weird. It was
almost like the ending of the latest Bond film.
It was like I haven't seen it.
Oh.
It was a numbed experience.
It was so bad enough at 2-2. 3-2 was just like, whatever.
But anyway, fast forward, Smith's had a few days of reflection and he was obviously pissed off after the game. He seems a bit more philosophical about it now. He says, I've played Wolves 5 times as a manager and that's the most comfortable I've been in a game against them. We probably didn't deserve to be 2 goals up, but a goal up at least. It wasn't a collapse. We had to defend a couple of soft free kicks and corners and we won the first contact on most. Sometimes there's randomness in football that can happen. After the second goal, we were the team that looked likely to score the winner.
Right.
There was some fortune in their winner, a free kick that's going wide and deflects in. You get what you deserve over a season, and we didn't get what we deserved over that one game. On the whole, I was pleased with parts of our game.
Kind of fair, I would say. The last
I'd
10
be
minutes
fuming
is just painful.
Still.
Yeah.
I would say if that defence flakes out again, they're all off to St Andrews on a free transfer.
They're off to rebuild the roof.
I mean, you've got to play a system a few times to get it down.
It's people not doing their jobs, those 3 goals. And the third goal is kind of one of those ones. It happens, doesn't it? I accept him saying that. It's just fortunate. But when you've collapsed the way you have and you get that free kick against you in the last minute, you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah. But the second goal was
fucking appalling.
Anyway, we've been through this. I suppose it's, you know, trying to pick positives for your team to go on because obviously they've analysed the game and you know, a little bit of pressure now because Arsenal, while we are doing pretty well in recent games against them, it's a tough trip. And, you know, if Arsenal win, that's 3 defeats on the trot for Villa.
Mm.
And the old knee-jerk boys will be out, and they're already out after that Wolves game.
Yeah, big time. I think Villa got a bit of a hall pass, didn't they, for the Tottenham one, because they'd won at Old Trafford and the way they performed against Everton. But the Wolves one has certainly sent a few alarm bells ringing with the overreactors.
Yeah, I think there's this little bit of complacency in both supporters and the players in that Wolves game. If that was, you know, if that was against Manchester United or Liverpool, we're 2-0 up. I think there would have been a hell of a lot more focus from the players, especially, and you know, the fans would have stayed.
And because we were so comfortable, I think the players sort of came on thinking, oh, this is all right, we'll just see it out, and they clearly didn't.
In terms of injuries. Smith has said Matty Cash's dead leg, which caused him to come off against Wolves, isn't a problem now. He's been back training and he's fine, so you'd expect him to start. Liam Bailey's been back training the last couple of days, so he's fine as well, as is Burton Traore. He says Keenan Davis is back training. I don't know if he'll make the squad, is what I'm reading between that. I saw a certain journalist going a bit overboard, making out that he was almost like watching Bailey in training and saying he's sending keepers to the shops and everything. You know, it's just based on seeing somebody's Instagram story. If you read between the lines, as Smith says, the likes of Liam Bailey and Bertrand Traore have come back from 4 or 5 weeks out, so will build up their fitness, which is a clue to suggest they probably won't be starting.
Bearing in mind, both of them have barely kicked a ball for us this season.
Yeah, and you know, bearing in mind, this is a Friday. Even if it was a Sunday game, those 2 extra days might have given them a better chance of starting. But you've also got a situation here where I think Smith might go with the 3-5-2 again because it's away against Arsenal.
Yeah, and play it safe.
That will give him make up his mind in terms of you know, starting Bailey from the bench.
And I think knowing that we play Friday night and then don't play until we're like the last game of the following game week with the West Ham game, like next sort of Sunday, I think it's a 4:30 kickoff. He's got He knows he's going to have a nice week with the players to do some real groundwork on the training ground, potentially with a fully fit squad for the first time.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bailey and Traore are on the bench to start off with, including Sanson. I mean, the way he's talking there, it's not as if he's going to ring the changes. I mean, he made a couple of changes as a probably a result of the Spurs game. Buendia...
Yeah, obviously Twan Zabi came back in, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Buendia just needs games because, you know, he's a proper player.
You can see it in his technique. It's just a case of like tempo and getting up to the system and getting back used to the pace of the game. Is now, you could argue maybe in the Norwich side last year in the Championship, he became a bit of a flat track bully because they were just flattening teams.
Yeah, but he was good in the Premier League. He was good in the Premier League. He was like their only, you know, kind of shining light in terms of creating chances or whatever. His stats were well up there, despite Norwich being, you know, piss poor in terms of where they were in the league.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's like getting up to the speed of the game, whatever. It's just getting up to speed with his teammates and, you know, vice versa. It's just, you know, getting the system down. And
the combinations, isn't it? He knows once he's got combinations, he can pick a pass.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it was more exciting for him to be playing alongside Grealish because there you've got two
schemers,
imaginative footballing brains. But, you know, the likes of Bailey, if he's alongside him, Traore, you know, you've got players who can scheme. So we'll see how it breaks out. But, you know, as Smith did lay down in this latest press conference, this is a squad for the top half of the table. So once these players have got games under their belt, I think he's got some decent options and we should be chalking up some results.
Yeah, and as we've said all along, you know, to have a bit of variety, which I think we had options on the bench for Wolves, but we didn't necessarily have the firepower we could have done with to, you know, with 15 minutes to go to actually put our foot on the gas a little bit more and go, actually, we're going to kill the game here, like we did against Everton.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. Yeah, Everton was when we had proper options on the bench. I think some, you know, when you looked at our bench against Wolves, you're actually, where has everybody gone? Because we were feeling quite smug in the games before that with what we could bring on, but suddenly it was looking a bit old school last season kind of bench.
Yeah, and I think of not having necessarily a game changer. You know, he didn't have Buendia coming off the bench that he'd done previously. He didn't have Bailey or a Traore, and we didn't use El Ghazi. And the fact that, you know, probably all three substitutes that Smith made, they were all forced upon him, weren't they? None of them were tactical changes.
Yeah.
They were all like for likes.
In terms of Arsenal, people writing them off early doors, but, you know, they were. It's not as if they had their first three fixtures weren't the easiest.
No, exactly, yeah. They came up against difficult teams and they've kind of beaten teams since that you'd probably expect them to get results with. You'd say they're probably about par for the course, actually.
Yeah, I mean, if you take the last six games, as that's traditionally the form, they're actually fifth in the table at the moment. In that six games, you know, after they got beat by Chelsea, which was the last of their first three games, they beat Spurs, beat Norwich, drew against Palace.
Yeah, they didn't look great against Palace, to be honest.
Against Spurs weren't the greatest, and you know Norwich was only 1-0. So it's, you know, it is a team in transition, and you know there's a few youngsters in there, but it's still dangerous. And I would say they would be the favourites going into this game, considering you know Villa have lost their last two.
I think so. It's probably more of a difficult game than people anticipate, because I think Arsenal will see Villa as a bit of a sitting duck at the moment.
Yeah, Smith said people are saying they were in crisis. This is Arsenal after their first three games of the season. And that was with a COVID-19 outbreak in their camp for the first game and games against the league champions and European champions. They've come back as we all expected they would. They've drawn the last couple of games, so we can take some heart in that.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But, I mean, the win against Spurs for them... I suppose is the only, but you know, it's a local derby. They're going to be up for that. But I'm not seeing any wow factor from their results. I mean, the drop point against Palace. I mean, they did well, I suppose, to get that point in the end.
Yeah, I think Arsenal have still got, you know, one or two players you think on their day they can hurt anybody, and they showed that last season. You know, they were crap, still managed to finish above us, which when I mean you were both annoyed at,
yeah.
I still am. The fact that they've still got guys who can hurt you means they're not to be underestimated. I just think as a unit, they're not the force they once were, you know, through the Wenger era.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying, but I think, you know, last season when we put them to the sword... And, you know, we had 5-6 points on them. And this is before before December, I think. And we were ahead against Leeds. And, I remember putting out a tweet saying, we will be disappointed if we don't finish above Arsenal and Leeds this season. And
lo and behold,
that would mean you would be finishing in the top half. But that just shows you how Villa flunked it. And you would expect that. I wouldn't be saying the same thing. I mean, this is the context of this game. I wouldn't be saying the same statement now that we would be disappointed if we didn't finish above Arsenal. So, we're very much the underdogs going into this game. We're almost like back to tradition.
Yeah, possibly. I think it's probably two kind of equally clunky, sort of inconsistent sides who don't quite know where they're at the moment.
But saying that, you wouldn't be surprised if you beat Arsenal because, you know, the track record is pretty good in terms of the last few games. I mean, you know, that is the key stat of this game.
Villa have obviously won the last three against the Gunners, but we've also, we've kept three clean sheets in those games. Arsenal have failed to score in all those matches.
And that's against our back four. So that's the interesting thing is, will he go for that three again in terms of centre-backs? Because our original setup was working well against Arsenal.
And I think with Arsenal, as we'd said through last season, they're actually the kind of team that suits the way we wanted to play. We wanted to be aggressive. We could hit them on the break. There was obviously probably one of my favourite goals of last season was our breakaway goal at Arsenal, the Watkins goal, which was brilliant.
But in terms of the back three, he's going to play it, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. It'll be interesting to see how that one matches up because Arsenal aren't one of those like mean sides, I don't think. So potentially if we can get on the ball, I still think we've got enough, more than enough quality to hurt them. And then if we've got a little bit of firepower off the bench, we can go and hurt them. It will probably, again, come down to how our back line performs because Arsenal's back line aren't great either.
No, there's lots of threes in that in that stat. And the one three that I'm most concerned about, and especially with Arsenal failing to score in all the last three games against us, is will Matt Target make it a hat-trick of own goals, stroke deflections, stroke misfortune, you know, call it what you want. So how do you want to dress up the pig is the question. But I would be subbing Matt Target off, 10 minutes to go, just to be sure.
Just in case, get Ashley Young on at left back.
Especially if it's a clean sheet at that point in time.
I think, luckily, you're going to have Martinez going back there, who I'm sure will get a good reception, obviously going back with fans for the first time, but he'll be bang up for this game, won't he? And it'll be interesting to see if he tries to shit out his old team. See, that seems to be the theme of his last, like, since the summer, really.
I think this we'll have to be clinical to have a chance of winning this game. And, there's people, two complaints. People starting to question playing two up front, which is kind of predictable. There's no patience, is there? And also people questioning the midfield. Now, in its pomp, the three at the back, five across the midfield, if you're including the wing-backs, that actually, when it was, against United, whatever, it did give us balance and it gave us a foothold higher up the pitch. So I think when it works, it works. That's not a problem. I mean, you can't blame it for the Wolves game. It's just that last 10 minutes of, madness.
The guy's not doing their jobs. You can't vouch for that. And Smith, there's only so much Smith can do. As soon as they go over the white line, it's on the players and senior players to manage the game. The manager cannot manage the game in-game, can he?
You know, as we've said, in terms of those front two, they've been in a position where, for a majority of the time, I mean, Watkins missed the first few games. but they haven't had the provider, really. And that's either a Buendia or a Bailey. And Bailey hasn't even started this season.
Even the maverickness of someone like a Traore or an El Ghazi who can make stuff happen.
They've played within quite a functional setup. And that is that's the thing that has concerned me a little bit. But then again, it's horses for courses. With these players out, you've got to kind of set up in a way that provides you with the best chance of, you know, winning a game or countering the opposition. And in this respect, we've seen quite a functional setup without these glitter players being available. And, you know, this reliance on set pieces. But they will benefit from the likes of Buendia or Bailey or Traore opening up the game a bit and wrong-footing the opposition and, you know, creating more space and giving Watkins and Ings a chance to, run onto things. So I wouldn't be judging them as a front two and, you know, getting knee jerky and saying, oh, we're going to have to go for, you know, we're going to have to just play one up front now. Judge it when all the pieces are in play, because they went to buy Buendia, Ings and Bailey to play together. I mean, at the moment, we're lucky if there's one of them in the team so far.
Who's fit. And yes. Let alone firing.
So that's when Judgment Day comes in.
I've seen enough so far to suggest that we've got enough of those signings and enough in our team that this can still be a really good team and can be a successful season. But we always thought, certainly we did from the podcast side, that we said the first half of the season is going to be a bit clunky. We've had a very disruptive summer with various things, be it the transfer market, COVID, injuries galore, change of system. It's almost like you almost have to give them a pass up until Christmas, and then we'll really have to put the foot down. You just, if you want to achieve things after Christmas, you're going to have to be kind of in the mix and not too far, you know, adrift. But bearing in mind what we've achieved before under Smith being way back, you know, you never quite know. Look at the gap, as you said earlier, the gap that Arsenal had on us and Leeds, and they ended up finishing above us. So
yeah,
we're just going to have to kind of dig in a little bit through these sticky periods.
Yeah, you're just hoping over November and December, there's seven games now in December, that we are in a reasonable position, let's say even if it's just mid-table, to then have a platform to, you know, strike for home from. And, yeah. And, you know, that's essentially it.
Yeah, you want to be upwardly mobile.
We're not going to win the league. We're unlikely to get in the Champions League, but beyond that, as long as you're, as you just mentioned, you can make runs, you know, if you string three or four wins together.
I mean, geez, look at what Newcastle did at the end of last season when they were like in a relegation dogfight. Was it 12th or 13th they ended up finishing? A crazy run of form.
Yeah, so there's no need to sack Bruce.
Oh, I thought we'd get through this without mentioning that.
You know how Bruce is. Once the daffodils come up, that's when he kicks into overdrive.
That's what we're doing with El Ghazi at the moment. You know, wait until March and he's going to be ready. He's going to be rested, ready, and bang up for it.
Right, a new segment of something for the weekend is, we'll provisionally call it, Who Are We Poaching? To stay within the preview vibe of the show, Who Are We Poaching is essentially which player from the opposition would we take to improve the situation in terms of Villa's first 11? Well, we've already poached Martinez from them, which went a long way to improving the first 11. Then perhaps we intercepted them getting Buendia, which hopefully will improve our first 11 down the line this season. But of the current Arsenal team, who would you pick to improve matters?
Interesting one, that, isn't it? Because you kind of have to think about what do we currently need or what are we currently lacking?
I think because Saka can play at fullback and he's been playing kind of wide on either flank, actually, for Arsenal. So in terms of if you want to get some real purchase from this 3-5-2 scenario, I think he would, as one of the wingbacks either side, would give us a bit more, let's say, fire.
It'd certainly give you versatility because you could pretty much play him anywhere along the front line as well.
But in terms of making that the wingback position with, you know, having like real pace and giving the opposition something more to think about, it's basically you're upgrading, aren't you?
Yeah.
And then if we switch to four at the back, then you've got a decent, if you had him one side and Bailey on the other and you could be swapping them in and out, it would be pretty dangerous.
Inverted wingers.
It would be pretty pretty dangerous. So I would go for that. And obviously, you know, age is on his side.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, you know, you can talk about Aubameyang.
Aubameyang when he's in form. It's kind of easy.
Like I said, but I don't, you know, people are moaning about having two very good strikers at the moment and wanting to only play one of them. So I don't think we really need, I mean, you got Archer coming through, but Saka, just from the age point of view, I would say would probably be the key asset. I mean, Smith Rowe, I don't know how serious we were in terms of wanting to buy him, because
I think with players like that, you think, well, good player, fair enough. Who would you play him over, though?
Yeah, and also, if he's that good, there's no way Arsenal are letting go of a young player that's coming through their ranks.
And if he's that good, he's not leaving Arsenal for Villa?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That just seemed like he had a contract to sign, and it sounded like his agent was just trying to create some bidding war.
Add an extra zero to the weekly paycheck.
And maybe making out to Villa that, oh yeah, no, there's actually a possibility here. He's not that, you know, he's not that happy. Arsenal aren't playing ball. So you don't know how that goes. The way the media present it is another thing, because it's in their interest to make it a real ongoing saga and string that one out as long as possible. But in reality, you know, there's just no way I saw him going to Villa if he was any good. And then if he's not that good, why would Villa want him and spend silly money?
Because would he get in your team over, you know, Buendia, McGinn, whoever else? Probably not.
Louise, even.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would probably go Saka. Anyway, so that's the new segment. So, Saka, see you next season, son. Or maybe in the January window. Right, it's time to say goodbye. Thank you very much to the patrons that have signed up in the last few days. We'll give you a shout-out in the next main show. If you want to join us in Match Club for the Arsenal game, and also get access to the extra podcast channel, etc., go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the Patreon link for more details. This show is also supported by Free Trade, the commission-free trading app. So if you want to get on board and start your long-term wealth portfolio of shares or EFTs, rather than gambling or anything like that, you can go to freetrade.io/moms, and as soon as you set up an account and fund it, you will get a free share between the value of £3 to £200. So the link will be in the show description, and I'll also put it up on social media. And don't forget, as with any investing, your capital is at risk. Right, off we go. Friday night shenanigans in Match Club. Ahoy. Any final words?
We're in the middle of this run of games, aren't we? Obviously, you know, Tottenham, Wolves, Arsenal, West Ham are all teams you'd like to think will be in our little batch of clubs come the end of the season. So again, it's another gauge of where we're at. You know, we haven't fared particularly well against Tottenham and Wolves so far, so we could do with something at Arsenal.
He'll take a point, Chris Bird will take a point.
I want the win.
Is that the conclusion?
I want to go there and win again.
Right, until the next main show, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.